The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
After almost 1 year, Starbucks is finally bargaining with the union. Meanwhile, a federal judge comes down on Amazon and their warehouse in Canada. Well, the workers there want to go union. And today on the show, the National Labor Office of Blue Cross Blue Shield and the General President of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades. Welcome to the Tuesday, April 30th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have a total of three guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with one of our latest sponsors, and that's the National Labor Office at Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We'll first be joined by Marilee Logue. Marilee's been on the show before. She is the executive director of the National Labor Office, and she will be joined by Michael Sutton. Now, Michael is a female. It's spelled M-I-K-A-L. She is the managing director of Medicaid policy for the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, which, by the way, is a national federation of independent, community-based, and locally operated Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies. Michael has about 15 years of experience in healthcare, and she has collaborated with state, local agencies, organizations, external stakeholders. The whole thing here is to build policy solutions, create a solution that works for workers. That's what it's all about. Since she joined the association, Michael has worked on regulatory and policy development on a wide variety of program issues for Medicaid, and she also leads the Food as Medicine Collaborative for the association, consisting of 15 plans across the Blue system looking at policy solutions and best practices to address hunger and wellness with beneficiaries. That sounds like a whole show in itself. Today we are going to focus on Medicaid. Now, what's Medicaid? Well, it's the federal program that provides coverage for people who qualify, which often includes those who have limited incomes and resources, including children, pregnant women, older adults, people with disabilities. There's a lot of folks in that category. And eligibility is a big thing, and we're going to talk about that. The other issue, you have to pay attention to this on the show. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, Medicaid renewals, which are also called redeterminations, happen every year. During the public health emergency, Americans were not required to renew their Medicaid plans. Well, as of April last year, 2023, those renewals began again, and many are at risk of losing their health care coverage. So we're going to sort all of this out with first Marilee Logue, and then Michael Sutton on behalf of the National Labor Office at Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Jimmy Williams, General President of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, will be joining us later in the show. IUPAT.org is their website. Jimmy proudly represents and fights for 140,000 workers in the finishing trades across the United States and Canada. They represent primarily industrial painters, commercial decorative painters, drywall finishers, glazers, glass workers, sign and display workers, trade show workers, floor covering installers, many more careers in the construction industry. He took over as general president. Well, it'll be 3 years this September. Jimmy is a fourth generation glazer from District Council 21, and the local there is 252 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He started his career in 1998. And today is a very significant day because it is International Painter Appreciation Day. And when you talk to Jimmy, every day is International Painter Appreciation Day for the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades. We're going to talk about organizing. We're going to talk about outreach. I'll tell you one thing that Jimmy has done since he took over was to create a more diverse and engaged membership, which has strengthened the painters and allied trades. He's also taken on wage theft and worker misclassification. We'll get into all of that. And he'll be coming to Northeast Ohio later this week for a town hall meeting. And there'll be stumping for Senator Sherrod Brown. So all of that will be covered with Jimmy Williams as our second, or actually our last guest on the show today. Now a brief look into the world of labor. The segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. Well, after almost a year, Starbucks and Workers United have resumed bargaining talks. Their initial meeting took place April 24th in Atlanta. About 250 union members intended to attend the meeting virtually, though it's unclear how many did. And 150 union delegates did attend in person. Well, as you probably know by now, the past year has been tumultuous for the relationship between the union and the company. The former Starbucks CEO stated a union was fundamentally incompatible with Starbucks, and the company sued the union over their logo. Workers, as a result, staged strikes and fought unsuccessfully to put workers on the Starbucks board. The return to the bargaining table accompanies other signs of goodwill, including the company extending benefits it previously denied to unionized stores, like credit card tipping. Meanwhile, a federal judge in Seattle has ruled against Amazon, saying the company must produce records to the Department of Labor. The records documented payments for executives' travel in order to dissuade employees from going union. The order was granted as the information was relevant to determining whether employees were acting within the scope of their normal duties or specifically in an anti-union capacity, and ordered disclosed pursuant to the Labor Management Reporting and Disclosure Act. That will be one to watch. Meanwhile, workers at a Montreal Amazon warehouse filed a request to be the first Amazon union in Canada. This request directs the Administrative Labor Tribunal to validate the workers' signatures in order to create the union. Now, members would not be required to vote, but Amazon could still challenge the list of employees in the union. And the workers themselves are convinced that most members of their workplace are in favor of the new union. After months of rallying and recent contract negotiations, Fordham Graduate Student Workers Union, which is affiliated with the Communication Workers of America Local 1104, reached a tentative agreement with the university. Now, this comes after a 98% supermajority strike authorization vote from the union just about 2 weeks ago. Top issues for members included stipends, health insurance subsidies, and high university fees, which can cost up to 15% of workers' pay. The Congressional Labor Caucus sent a letter signed by 160 Congress members to JetBlue CEO Joanna Garrity, encouraging the company to adopt a neutrality agreement as the Transport Workers Union, TWU, continues their efforts to unionize workers at JetBlue. TWU, which currently represents about 7,000 flight attendants at JetBlue, is engaging in a campaign to organize the company's estimated 1,000 mechanics and 100 dispatchers. The congressional letter was sent in response to instances of anti-organizing interference at JetBlue from the management. And one more here before we break. Disneyland performers, all based in Anaheim, California, filed a petition recently to unionize under Actors Equity. The group, made up of eligible workers, including parade performers, character actors, and support staff at Disneyland and Disney California Adventure theme parks. Now, through unionization, the workers are hoping to raise wages, address safety and health issues that became pretty apparent during the pandemic. They also want to improve health insurance access. Currently, about 21,000 Disneyland workers have union representation, including retail and food service workers, security guards, makeup artists, and pyrotechnics workers. The performers are hoping to join this group, their counterparts in Disney World theme park in Orlando. They unionized about 40 years ago with the Teamsters. Now, Disney officials released a statement that they support our cast members' right to a confidential vote that recognizes their individual choices. More than two-thirds of the eligible workers signed the union authorization cards, and the election through the NLRB will likely take place sometime next month, which starts tomorrow, or in June. Actors Equity has asked for voluntary recognition based on the volume of workers who have signed the authorization cards, but they have yet to receive a response from the company. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to link up with two guests on behalf of the National Labor Office of Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at IFPTE.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office. You know,
Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies formed out of a need to provide affordable health care to teachers, loggers, and miners. And in 1965, the Blues developed the National Labor Office to strengthen its commitment to organized labor. Today, Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office remains focused on America's workers, advocating for affordable and equitable health care, partnering with strategic alliances to provide industry-leading products and services, and proudly serving more than 18 million unionized workers, retirees, and their families, all working hard for America's working families, for the health of America. You can learn more by following them at Blue Labor on LinkedIn and X, formerly known as Twitter. I am joined once again today by Marilee Logue. Now, Marilee is the executive director of the National Labor Office at Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Marilee, it is great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me back, Flash. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. And today, we have one additional guest we're excited to welcome to the show, Michael Sutton. Now, Michael is also with Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, where she is the Managing Director of Medicaid Policy. And that's very good, and I'll tell you why, because we're going to be talking primarily today about Medicaid, which in and of itself is a very complex topic, but perhaps even more so now because of the number of changes that have happened within the Medicaid program in recent years.
I couldn't agree more with you. It's an interesting topic and one that I think will be relevant to your listeners. We'll talk about how everyone can check if they are eligible, if their family members are eligible, or if their union members qualify for Medicaid coverage, how to enroll if someone does qualify, and some important deadlines that they need to know.
Well, I'd love to start out by level setting with everyone that's listening right now on what Medicaid is. Can you pick up on that, Marilee?
Yes. So Medicaid is the federal program that provides coverage for people who qualify. It often includes those who have limited incomes and resources, including children, pregnant women, older adults, and people with disabilities.
And I think it's safe to say that healthcare coverage is a very important factor for all working Americans, specifically our union workers who are listening right now. So my question to you, what role would you say you and your team play in helping ensure coverage is available?
So my team, the NLO, and Blue Cross Blue Shield companies across the country have been working with fund offices who want to help their union members who may be temporarily unemployed, part-time employed, or seasonal workers who don't qualify for health benefits through their fund because they don't meet the eligibility criteria. I also want to mention that we work with school boards because while teachers and administrators often have very good benefits, the children they teach may not. Very often these teachers want to help their students and family members beyond the classroom by providing guidance on things like how to get healthcare coverage.
Well, Marilee, I believe we have Michael on the call right now. Michael is the Managing Director of Medicaid Policy for Blue Cross and Blue Shield, about 15 years of experience in healthcare, so we appreciate her background on this issue. Michael, I'd love for you to help shed some light on the current state of Medicaid and all the recent changes to the program. I know there are many, but can you start right there? Go ahead.
Hi, Flash. Thank you so much for the introduction. I'm really looking forward to today's conversation. But before we talk about the current state of Medicaid, I think we first need to share some background that will explain how we got here. Is that okay?
Absolutely. I'm all ears. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So for context, people who have health insurance coverage through Medicaid typically have to renew their coverage every year. To do this, they must submit information on their location, income, and other demographic information. Then their state Medicaid agency will determine if they still meet Medicaid coverage requirements.
Okay. All right, I'm following.
So during the pandemic, the federal government suspended this Medicaid renewal or redetermination process so individuals could stay continuously enrolled in Medicaid.
So, Michael, people who were on Medicaid, well, they didn't have to worry about renewing their coverage during the pandemic, and they basically were automatically re-enrolled. Am I hearing that correctly?
Exactly. However, on April 1st, 2023, around a year ago, states were able to resume these Medicaid eligibility redeterminations, which now means that individuals need to complete and submit their Medicaid renewal forms to renew their coverage.
Oh, boy. So what happens if someone does not know that they need to submit these forms to renew their coverage?
Sure. Well, if an individual fails to submit a renewal form, or if they submit their form but are found to not meet eligibility requirements, they then risk losing their Medicaid coverage.
Ooh, well, this is incredibly important. And it's an important update for everybody on Medicaid. I know that number is pretty high. So could you provide some guidance on what individuals should do if they're enrolled in Medicaid?
Absolutely. First, I'll note that states have been actively conducting renewals for the last year or so. So many people enrolled in Medicaid may already have completed their renewal, which is great.
Oh, okay. That's good news to hear. And for anyone who has not renewed, what's the answer to that?
Yeah. So thank you for asking that, because it is so, so important. If you haven't yet renewed your coverage, one of the most important things you can do is make sure that your state Medicaid agency has your most recent contact information. By updating your contact information, you're helping to ensure that your state will be sending any documents related to your renewal to the correct address.
Okay, I got it. So one important step to take, number one, is to update your contact information. So is there a website that folks can go to, or how do they go about doing this, Michael?
That is a great question. An easy way to figure out how to update your information is to go to Medicaid.gov and follow the Renew Coverage link. It's in the banner at the top of the homepage. That's going to take you to a map where someone can select your state and find all of the information you need to update your contact information or receive assistance with your renewal.
Okay, I'm going to repeat that because this is really, really important. Medicaid.gov, Medicaid.gov, and then clicking Renew Coverage, that will get people the information they need for their state. Is that right?
You got it.
Okay, all right. You know what, Michael, I have to take a quick break. Joining us on our live line today is Michael Sutton, Managing Director of Medicaid Policy for Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Of course, that's a national federation of independent, community-based, and locally operated Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies. Also on the line today is Marilee Logue. Marilee has been on the show before. She is the executive director of the National Labor Office at Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. More to come right after this. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
The Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 iron worker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, The Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great iron worker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. And another note here, if you like a show, and I know you love America's Workforce, last year was a banner year that's continuing into 2024. So just share that show because we want to grow the show in 2024, and it's happening. Monday through Friday, America's Workforce, awfpodcast.com. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. All right, let's go back to our live line. We have two people joining us. We started off the show with Marilee Logue. Marilee is the executive director of the National Labor Office of Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. And joining her is Michael Sutton. Now, Michael is the managing director of Medicaid policy for Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Okay, Michael, we were talking about Medicaid.gov, and it's important that people update their contact information no matter what they're doing. You always got to update that kind of stuff. So my question, once they update their information or confirm that that information is correct, what do they need to do from that point on?
Yeah, so from here, keep an eye out for a renewal form in the mail and be prepared to respond promptly once you receive it. For some states, you may also be able to renew coverage online through your state's Medicaid website.
Medicaid.gov, G-O-V. Sounds like a great resource. Now, once you're on the site, folks can select their state and will be guided through the process from there. Now, what do people do if they lose Medicaid coverage? Can they reapply, Michael?
Yeah, so the short answer is yes, but there are some nuances. States can terminate Medicaid coverage for two main reasons, and the approach someone will want to take, it differs between the on the reason their coverage was terminated. So first, a state might terminate coverage because they did not have enough information to complete an eligibility renewal. So, for example, the state might request additional information about a person's income during the renewal process, but if the person doesn't supply that information in a timely manner, the state may have to terminate their Medicaid coverage.
I get it. The clock is ticking then. Okay, so what should a person do if this happens?
Don't panic if this happens and a person thinks they might still meet Medicaid eligibility requirements. They should submit requested information to the state as quickly as possible. States generally allow a grace period or a reconsideration period where a person can submit the requested information and have their Medicaid coverage restored without having to complete a new application. The length of this reconsideration period currently varies by state, but it's usually somewhere between 30 to 90 days. And if the reconsideration period has ended, the person should complete a new Medicaid application.
So the first reason someone may lose coverage is if they don't have enough information in their renewal form. All right, got that down. Now, what's the second reason?
Right. So the second reason a state might terminate coverage is if a person no longer meets the Medicaid eligibility criteria. So, for example, their income might have increased beyond the state limit. If this happens, people may be able to secure coverage through their employer or purchase affordable coverage on the marketplace. The good news is that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is commonly referred to as CMS, they report that 4 out of 5 enrollees can find marketplace insurance plans that cost less than $10 per month right now.
Whoa, that's pretty good news. I'm sure a lot of people are happy to hear that, Michael. Where do people go to find these coverage options then?
Sure. If you go to healthcare.gov, you can explore marketplace options in your state. Right now, the marketplace is having what's called a special enrollment period for people who have lost Medicaid or CHIP coverage to allow them to purchase a marketplace plan without having to wait for the next open enrollment period.
Now, can anyone apply during this special enrollment period?
So to be eligible for federal marketplace coverage, individuals need to confirm that they lost Medicaid coverage between March 31st of 2023 and November 30th of 2024. Once that's verified, they can gain coverage from their application date to the marketplace.
Okay, that time period again is March 31st of 2023 and November 30th of 2024. So thank you for sharing this information and for providing some pretty clear steps on how to stay covered through the Medicaid program. Now, I want to bring it back to Blue Cross and Blue Shield here for a second to hear about what efforts have looked like from your end. Can you get into that for us, Michael?
You know, for sure. This is the exciting stuff. So Blue Cross and Blue Shield plans have been working really tirelessly to partner with states and other stakeholders to get the word out, I'm using my air quotes, about the unwinding and redetermination. The plans have utilized everything from care coordinators, community health workers, navigators, and also assisters to educate and inform individuals, not only of the requirements to submit the eligibility paperwork, but also to navigate that challenging task of completing the required documentation in a timely manner.
Well, and yet it's a pretty big undertaking. So it's great to hear that Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are working with the states to educate and help folks impacted by this. So I know you mentioned we're well into the unwinding phase of redeterminations. What's the current status on that?
Yep. The unwinding was originally scheduled to end June 30th, 2024. However, several states had some setbacks during 2023. And so there are a few states that have asked for and have been granted an extension beyond that June 30th. There isn't a comprehensive list that's available as to which states were pushing redeterminations beyond June, but we do know that the number of states choosing to extend continues to grow.
So that would lead me to my next question then. When you look at the number of people who have been disenrolled compared to those who have taken the steps to re-enroll, what are you seeing right now?
Yeah, well, as with any large sets of data, there's variation sort of depending on where you look. As of April 11th of this year, the Kaiser Family Foundation, or KFF, reported 20.1 million people have been disenrolled from Medicaid. However, it's really important to note that the actual disenrollment number is likely higher given a lag in reporting, but the actual net decline in Medicaid is certainly much lower.
Wow. 20.1 million people disenrolled, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. That's a big number. Now, why do we see these discrepancies that you mentioned in the number between disenrollment and net decline? Can you explain that part?
That's a really great question. So it's a similar cycle that we've seen before in Medicaid, and it's typically referred to as the Medicaid churn, where we see a difference in terminations and net enrollment being a reflection of churn in the Medicaid market, which is very high in some states and lower in others. So for example, the latest CMS Medicaid enrollment data is only reported as of the end of last year, but shows a net decline of 9 million with 13.8 million actual terminations. The final thing I'll say here is that states with very high new application rates are also the states with the highest disenrollments. So this indicates to us that many consumers are taking the steps to reapply.
Man, that's a good sign. Now, I have to ask, because you mentioned cycles like Medicaid churn repeating themselves, have there been any major takeaways through this process that could impact Medicaid programs, perhaps for the better, long term? What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. The public health emergency unwinding, the PHE, has set really a new precedent for flexibility is available to states and Medicaid managed care plans. For example, one of the flexibilities involved where states are able to put in place to allow individuals to authorize a representative to sign a renewal form telephonically on their behalf. And managed care plans are able to provide this service to their current members, which helps keep people from losing coverage. And right now, CMS is looking at how many of the flexibilities can be retained permanently for states. And we certainly anticipate many of these remaining as available options to states. We're really hoping to see an overall improvement from a process perspective in the long run.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, any process improvement should be considered a win for everyone. So hopefully that's the case here. Now, on that good note, I can't believe it, but we're coming up to our time together. And I have to ask you this. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share to close out this discussion on Medicaid redeterminations?
Well, thanks again for having us. I would just say that if you have more questions or if you want more information, to please visit Medicaid.gov.
Okay, real simple, Medicaid.gov.
And I would just close by underscoring that it's important for individuals to understand their healthcare options during times of change. We at Blue Cross Blue Shield Companies are dedicated to supporting American workers so they have the healthcare coverage they need when they need it. As for me and my team, we sponsor labor events, conferences, and conventions throughout the year. You can find our full calendar at bcbs.com/national-labor-office. You can also follow us at Blue Labor on LinkedIn and on X, formerly Twitter.
Well, Marilee and Michael, thank you very much. We've reached the end of another episode, an insightful one, I might add. So a big thank you to our guests from Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Marilee Logue and Michael Sutton, for sharing their expertise. And we'll continue to do more with the National Labor Office at Blue Cross and Blue Shield. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the General President of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, celebrating today as International Painters Appreciation Day. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel for more information. This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. ulagency.org is our website. And tomorrow, in fact, Dave Meginhardt, who is the executive director, will be joining us. Hard to believe it's going to be May 1st tomorrow. But today, very important day for unions, especially the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, IUPAT.org. Today being April 30th is International Painter Appreciation Day. Jimmy Williams joining us on our live line on behalf of IUPAT. Jimmy took over the office as general president of the union September 1st of 2021, ushering in, and this is right from the website, a new generation of leadership and a reinvigorated vision for the painters and allied trades. Jimmy Williams, welcome back to America's Workforce. I remember talking to you last year. You were of the opinion that every day is Painters Appreciation Day, right?
Well, in our union, it is for sure. Thanks for having me, Flash.
Okay. Let me ask you this. I mean, it's going to be 3 years in September. It seems like it was yesterday. How can you assess the 2.5 years right now? Because you took over a lot of energy. I want to talk about organizing. I want to talk about tackling wage theft and all that kind of stuff. But in your assessment, Jimmy, how's the Painters and Allied Trades doing right now?
Well, I'm happy to report, Flash, that last year, 2023, was our best year for growth since fall of the economy and the Great Recession in 2008. We gained over 3,500 new members, and this is all coming off in the heels of the pandemic, and staying focused on growth and organizing within our union. We feel like we are at that moment where it's a critical juncture for us on whether we're going to continue on a path of growth, or if we fall back into, some of the trappings that held us back for the last 40, 50 years.
So is that across the board here, across the country? And I have to bring that up because you know what the UAW is doing. I mean, they're organizing in the South. I'm just wondering if any of that is happening down there. What's your take on that?
We have a heavy investment in organizing the South. We've put considerable resources into cities like Atlanta, Georgia, Nashville, Tennessee, Houston, Texas. We're seeing growth across the board, namely because of the work that the Biden-Harris administration has done in creating thousands and thousands of new jobs in the construction sector. You know, it's a great time to be a union organizer, and it's a great time to be bringing in new folks into our movement.
Are you primarily talking about the Bipartisan Infrastructure and Jobs Act? Is that what kind of reinvigorated everything?
It's not just the Bipartisan Infrastructure Bill. It's the CHIPS and Science Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. In fact, we're seeing more job creation coming out of the CHIPS and Science Act and the Inflation Reduction Act early, and that's going to continue into the next decade. And the Bipartisan Infrastructure Bill does as well.
That's great. Okay, let's take a deep dive into organizing here. And I was reading earlier about your belief that a more diverse and engaged membership will strengthen your union, the IUPAT, at all levels. Can you be specific on that? You mentioned the 3,500 new members. What's the makeup there, Jimmy?
Yeah, we are increasingly becoming more diverse within our ranks. That is who does the work in the construction industry. You know, we are becoming majority minority. We project that, you know, by the year 2025, we will be a majority minority union. We're seeing more women joining the trades at increasingly, you know, huge numbers. Our membership is very, very Latino. Highly immigrant workforce. Those are the folks that are doing the work in the construction industry, and those are the folks that we want to target for growth, and those are the folks that are going to lead our unions into the future.
Now, do you have a team helping you on this as far as organizing? Because I know a lot of unions last year, as you know, Jimmy, and I know this is when it started with the pandemic, and then last year with the big contracts, almost a million union brothers and sisters got double-digit pay raises. Can you be specific on your organizing efforts here? Because obviously you want to keep this on a roll. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, for sure. Our organizing approach within our union is that we have made sure that we put our money where our mouth is. And within our union, we make sure that 40 cents on every dollar that comes into our union is budgeted for our organizing program. We have an organizing director. His name is Shane Smith. He comes from Houston, Texas. He's 38 years old. He's a fireball. And he runs a staff of at least 15. And we have a budget for organizing that exceeds over $15 million a year annually at the international level. And through our district councils, the number is even, you know, quadrupled. So we've invested heavily in our organizing programs.
Oh, that's great. I'd like to hear that. So you pretty much feel that, I mean, what's your goal? Okay, you mentioned 3,500 workers here. What's your goal for 2024 and 2025 then?
It's to at least double that number. We see no reason why we can't through the fact that the construction industry is going to be busy and it's only going to continue to grow. And that's just through straight recruitment efforts. That's through straight apprenticeship, increasing the utilization of apprenticeship. We still need help when it comes to, you know, the fight against worker misclassification. All that is still designed to hold workers back from organizing. We're making sure we're investing in pressure in that system as well. Because once we can topple the system of worker misclassification and give construction workers more rights on the job, we'll be able to double those numbers and really grow our membership into the future.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'd like to delve into that a little deeper here. You and I have addressed that a couple of times on these shows here on America's Workforce. Wage theft, worker misclassification. It's been going on, Jimmy, let's be honest, it's been going on for years now, if not decades. And I'm just wondering, a lot of good things have happened with this administration. I mean, here's a president that is not afraid to say the word union. He embraces the union. He's gotten union endorsements. I'm just wondering, are we moving the needle in the right direction? Or are we chipping away at this? This is a real tough issue, as you well know. What do you think?
Well, I can tell you in a couple areas where we are chipping away with it, actually does come from the administration. In all of the tax credits that were given in the CHIPS and Science bill and in the Inflation Reduction Act, anybody who wants to, you know, receive the benefit of those tax credits, any large, you know, owner, operator, they have to use Davis-Bacon federal prevailing wages on those projects. That alone stops worker misclassification, at least in that industry. Now, where we're not chipping away at it is in the private sector. You know, the private sector uses that business model to drive wages down in the construction industry and put all of the liability on the backs of the workers. Until there's real reform over the private sector, you know, there's not going to be a big game changer until we can do things like pass the PRO Act or pass a more progressive worker misclassification bill at the top.
Boy, I tell you, the PRO Act, that's something we haven't talked about for a while. I know it's kind of in the House, it's kind of dead on the water. Now, where are we here? Are we still continuing to push that with this current Congress, or are we going to wait till after the election?
Well, I think the tide of organizing that's going on in this country has to be what leads to eventual PRO Act, you know, or labor law reform or passage of the PRO Act. You know, when you think about, like, I think about what just took place with the UAW in Tennessee, and mm-hmm. when 73% of the workers in that bargaining unit voted, you know, for collective bargaining, that's a message. And I hope politicians are listening. That's a message to both Republicans and Democrats that workers' rights matter. And I think that the tide of organizing in this country is the thing that would set us on a course to pass the PRO Act. So we can never take our eyes off of labor law reform. And even the President of the United States, when he addressed us at our National Building Trades Conference last week, he mentioned passage of the PRO Act as something that is important to his future if he were to be reelected. We have mm-hmm. to keep our politicians accountable when it comes to labor law reform.
I'm glad you brought that up about the legislative conference with NABTU. I know you've been to many of these. What's your assessment of this last one here? It sounds to me, I know Sean McGarvey was on a roll. I've seen a couple videos on social media, but what was your assessment of last week's conference?
This week was different. The president has addressed us now three straight conferences. Last week had a different feel. It really did feel like a convention or a political rally, so to speak. It wasn't a political speech. It was a rally. And the president of the United States deserves that. And, you know, President McGarvey at the National Building Trades put out what I think is one of the best endorsement videos you could ever put out, you know, for a politician. And he flat out told the membership, look, we tried to reason with Trump. There's no reasoning with Trump. He absolutely lied directly to our face for 4 years when he said he would help bail out our pensions and when he said he would pass infrastructure to help our membership. It flat out didn't happen. It did under Biden.
Speaking of politics, I understand you're going to be coming to Northeastern Ohio this week for a town hall meeting. Jimmy, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we've begun our outreach to our membership in all of the key election states and all of the key races early. And, you know, there is no bigger race to the future of the Senate than the race in Ohio this year to get Sherrod Brown reelected. Sherrod's been such a champion for working people, and we owe it to Sherrod to get out early to make sure we can shore up our membership and that they're prepared to make sure we reelect Sherrod Brown.
Now, Jimmy, you know the Senate is in play. I mean, there's some pretty close races. Is this pretty much the strategy of the Painters Union in various states? Are you going to continue to do this kind of thing up until November?
Yeah, and like I said, we're getting out early. We can't wait till, you know, the old school was, you know, wait till Labor Day and drive through till Election Day. People make their minds up earlier. They get turned off to the politics in this country, and I don't blame them. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure we're focusing on having one-on-one conversations with our members early. That's the point behind having these town hall meetings early. That's the point behind targeting the races that are most critical, and there's no bigger race than the Senate race in Ohio this year.
There you go. Yeah, those one-on-one meetings, that's very popular with organized labor, and to educate the union members, brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you, union folks have a tendency to vote more than non-union folks. That's pretty much the situation, and that's been like that for years. Very good. Jimmy Williams, Jr., General President of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades. Do check out their national website, iupat.org. And thank a painter today, because today is International Painter Appreciation Day. And, of course, in the union, every day is like that. Jimmy, you take care. Stay safe. And let's do this again before the end of the year. Okay, brother?
Sounds good, Flash. Thanks for having me.
All right. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, we kick off Mental Health Awareness Month with Dr. Sally and the latest from the United Labor Agency. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.